Coming up on Broadway Radio, a special series of interviews with the creators of theatrically themed podcasts. In our fifth interview of the series, we talk with Robert Gagneau of the Go See a Show podcast. With us today, we have a very special guest. Robert Gagneau is with us. Robert is one of those folks who I have mentioned before on This Week on Broadway because he has a podcast called Go See a Show. And it focuses on off Broadway and lots of really wonderful projects. So Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, James. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I want to remind listeners that our first mention of Robert on This Week on Broadway was where we talked about In Fields Where They Lay, which was, I guess, back in December of 14 or so. And I heard Go See a Show, and I was like enraptured with the interview that you did, Robert. So tell us, you know, tell us about Go See a Show. What is it?
Thanks for the kind words about the podcast. So it's essentially just an interview podcast where I talk to people who are making things in the independent theater community in New York. I like to say before I start an interview with folks, I'll turn on the mic and say, I'm just here to talk about what you made and why you made it. So I like to give people who are making independent theater in New York a bit more of a voice, a little bit more exposure to talk about the projects that are important to them and hopefully help to spread the word about said projects.
One of the things that I'm amazed about is my focus is really Broadway. And I'm lucky in that respect because I only have to focus on 30 or so shows per year. And when folks pitch me off Broadway and off Broadway, I say to them, I just don't have time in my schedule to do that. How do you sort through and come up with the gems that you have been coming up with every week, like In Fields Where They Lay? I mean, it's a lot of legwork for you to do.
You hit on the major shortcoming of my podcast, which is as opposed to 30 productions a year, there's about 30 going on at any given moment that I probably should be trying to get to or pay attention to. So it really comes down to my own interests, which is totally unfair to many a production. And I'm sure I've missed some really great stuff. But, you know, something I'll get all these different press releases and say, oh, that looks cool. Or I know that name. I like that company. Or this press agent always sends me great stuff. I'll try to check this one out. So it comes down to, unfortunately, again, like my availability plus what looks cool to me.
You know, Peter, Felicia, Michael Portantier, and I, you know, often talk offline about all the things that, you know, we can't see. And Peter says, you just can't see everything. I mean, Peter was away a couple of weeks ago in Nebraska for the International Theater Thespian Festival. And he missed Little Shop on at City Center, and I said, oh, Peter, and he says, you can't see them all. And it's got to be so true for us. I mean, it's an embarrassment of the riches for us because we have so many opportunities to see great things, but we also have the opportunity to see really bad things, don't we?
Yes, that's also another little difficulty of doing the podcast, and I would never name names or anything,
no.
But there's been times when I've sat through stuff that I don't particularly enjoy or that doesn't really resonate for me. But I'm really focused and dedicated to being focused on independent and off Broadway theater. So I fully expect that every once in a while I'm going to see a stinker. And the purpose of my podcast too is something that I guess is sort of unique to how I treat Go See a Show. Is I'm not there to editorialize. I will, if I see something that's phenomenal or that I'm really excited about, it totally comes through. I'm sure everybody can tell when I'm like, go see this show in particular. I'm really excited about it. I don't hide that. But for the most part, I try to keep an even keel on things and say, this is what's going on. These are the people who are talking about it. Here are their words about it, and kind of leave it out there as a, this is what's happening. If this catches your interest, go check it out. But yeah, I'm not in the critics business. I think partially because I don't feel qualified, and partially because I'm actually a theater artist myself. That's what brought me to doing Go See a Show. So I think I would feel, I would be upset if somebody else, like one of my peers, had a theater podcast dedicated to the independent theater community and was out there trying to spread the word about stuff. But then at the end of the interview that they did with me said, this show's not very good. You can skip this one. I would be pretty disappointed. So I definitely don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, we should focus on and let the listeners know that you primarily are doing interviews. You're really not doing critical analysis of shows, and which leads me directly into my next question is, and maybe you are better suited to answer this than most others, is do theaters evolve next to bars, or do bars evolve next to theaters?
I think the best theaters create bars inside of them.
and I joke about that because you always seem to get your guests to come on and have a beer with you, and they sort of loosen up and tell you lots of great stories.
It's a trick that I sort of picked up, and I shouldn't be revealing podcaster secrets here, but it helps. For one, it sort of helps me to be a bit more loose, as you said. That's a really good way to put it. And it gives, it lends an air of, this is just a conversation that among friends, hopefully we're going to be friends after this, to the people that I'm interviewing, because I've had interviews where it starts and they think, oh, I'm here to answer some very important questions about this very, very, very serious art that I'm doing. And I don't find those things interesting. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. And when I started listening to theater podcasts, once again, not naming names, came across a particular theater podcast with people that I was so interested to hear from. And it was so sterile and so boring. And, you know, I'm hearing interviews with people that I'm so fascinated by, and I really want to learn more about them as people, but it was reading more like an eighth grade book report where somebody was reciting what they found in, you know, a biography. So, and this was an interview. So I felt like good interviews are just kind of fun and organic and kind of flow the way that they flow to discuss, especially right after a show. All my interviews are conducted immediately following performances. That wasn't always the case, but I found that trying to talk about a show with someone where I hadn't seen the show and didn't have a point of contact to discuss their material with them just sounded stilted. So again, there's all this great energy going on immediately after a performance among the creators and among the audience as well. And I am part of that audience. So let's continue that. Let's take that energy and move that into maybe the corner of the room or into the dressing room or on stage away from what's going on in the lobby so that we can chat a little bit about what you made. And I've found that maybe sometimes having a beer helps people to get into that mode and keep that good energy opening.
So you said you were a fan of theater podcasts. Did you start your podcast before listening to theater podcasts, or did you listen to theater podcasts and start it? And how did Go See a Show start?
I'm trying to remember. I think when I started Go See a Show, I think there were a few podcasts out there that were dealing with theater, but not that I was aware of at the time. So do you want the long sorted version or the short quick version of how I got into this?
The long sorted version, it leads us to interesting dark caverns.
Ah, okay. Well, it's so way back in, goodness, I think 2009 or 2010, I was working for a music ensemble full time, and they had this great project coming up, and it was going to be a multi-city performance of music of this composer, Yannis Xenakis. And so we were working with a friend of the ensembles who had an ideas about marketing and that sort of thing. And she said, let's do a podcast. We're in a music ensemble. We should put out a podcast. And, you know, secretly, as these conversations are going on, I'm sitting and quietly listening as one of the future producers of that podcast and thinking, please ask me to voice it. Please ask me to voice it. Because I hadn't actually expressed my desire to do voiceover or anything like that at that point. And it just so happened that in the course of the meeting, this person who is consulting with us said, you know, Robbie, you've got a nice voice. Why don't you, could you narrate it? Could you do that? And, you know, I was really excited. The kid in me that had always wanted to be on the radio was really stoked. So that's kind of where I got started in podcasting. Did a few episodes around that project and then continued doing a podcast on music for the ensemble. A couple of years later, I was transitioning out of that job to focus more on being a theater artist myself and thought, I like doing this podcast thing. Let me do one on independent theater. Right. This will be a great way to show I can do voiceover, my own personal calling card. I have control. Like, look, I can do audio. Look at me. So it's almost really selfish to start and settled on the name Go See a Show. I have no clue why. I almost wish I could change it because I don't know that it's descriptive enough of what I do. But anyway, I started the podcast just by asking people that I knew were making shows if I could interview them about their show. So kind of fell into the podcast game having no clue what I was doing. And the first interview I did was with playwright Mariah McCarthy outside of Swift Bar on East 4th Street after a performance of her Romeo and Juliet adaptation, a musical called Ampersand. And yeah, we were literally outside of this bar on East 4th Street recording onto my iPhone. And got home, edited it, put it up online, and, you know, 168 episodes later, people are still listening. And I think I've gotten a little bit better at conducting interviews. But, yeah, that's kind of the long story of where it all came from. Basically, always wanted to be on the radio, sort of fell into it selfishly, and have since come to find that this is – for me, a really great way to learn more about what's going on in my community. I mean, I consider myself part of the independent theater community. So I like to say now that it's my community service. I really, really like doing it as a favor to everyone who's making stuff independently.
What's your schedule like? How often do you put out shows?
That's like my big bad podcaster thing. I'm terrible at being a podcaster. I really do try to do one a week, but the as you mentioned earlier, you can't see everything. And one of the great tragedies of being a theater artist is that you often miss shows because you're in rehearsal or you're performing. So I do try to do one a week, usually on Thursdays, but it kind of fluctuates. There's been weeks where I've put up five episodes and then I'll skip three, unfortunately. I know that's a big podcaster no-no, so I'm sorry, everyone. If you're looking forward to episodes of Go See a Show, just leave that feed going. And sorry about that. I'm going to try to fix it moving forward. But it's a one-man operation, so I put them up when I can.
I tell our listeners when we miss something that there are, you know, close to 500 hours in the archives. That, you know, if you're missing something, I'm sure you haven't listened to every show. Go back and take a listen to one of them that you haven't listened to or forgot about. You know, it's
exactly.
Really funny. You know, something comes up. Last week we were talking on This Week on Broadway. We were talking about something. It was Deaf West, and I knew that previously we had talked about Deaf West and bringing Spring Awakening to Broadway. And
Which sounds like a phenomenal project. I'm glad you were talking about that. It's really cool.
I can't wait.
It sounds
I just can't wait.
Yeah.
And it was really bothering me. I was like, where did we talk about it? And why did we talk about that? And it turns out that we had a few months back, Ted Chapin from Rodgers and Hammerstein on, and he was a director for National Theater of the Deaf. And we were talking about, not with Ted Chapin, but after Ted had left, we were talking about National Theater of the Deaf, and then we talked about Deaf West, and they were just about to do Spring Awakening. And it was really funny because we went back to our own archive, and I was like, I listened to it, and it was only a couple of months ago, and it was like all new to me. And I was there, you know?
But you're putting out such great content so often. It's, you know, just like you can't see everything yet. Sometimes you can't remember everything as
well.
Yeah.
I blame it on the children. You know, as soon as you have children, you can't remember anything. It's all a big blur.
Oh,
it's all a big blur.
Things to look forward to.
Yes.
I'm getting married in 2 months, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I don't even know how you have to, how do you have a moment to talk to me when you're getting married in 2 months? I can't even imagine. So tell us, you know, it's an opening there that you're getting married in 2 months. Tell us about Robert. You know, you said you're a theater artist. What else? You know, where are you from? Where did you? How did you end up in the big city?
So that's the real sordid story. Now we're getting to the dark places. Let's see. Condensed version. I grew up on the border to Canada, directly north of New York. I'm a lifelong New Yorker, but not of the city.
Uh-huh.
Grew up just south of Montreal, essentially, in the northeast corner of New York State. My area was just on the news very prominently because it's Clinton County, which is where the gentlemen
escapees
from the correctional facilities. Yeah. So grew up there, went to school in the Capital District, stayed in the Capital District working in politics for a few years. Found that
theater in New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
People think that Broadway is the center of theater in New York. It's Albany. Albany is the center of theater in New York.
It's a fascinating, fascinating system, and it's a very important thing to understand, and I'm glad I worked there, and I'm proud of the work that I did, and yeah, it was an excellent learning experience, but I realized, like, this isn't where I'm going to be happy, so left there after about 3 years and came to NYU, got a degree in performance studies, and formed a theater company with a couple of fellow graduates. We formed a company called Co-op Theater East. We've been producing in the city for about 6 years. We've been doing everything from brand new works to reinvented classics to we also do continue with this whole like podcast/radio theme. We do a series of radio plays we call Radio Coat, where we kind of remix current events into brand new radio plays done in a 24-hour radio play format. So it's super fun. I do that. What else do I do? Apart from that, I keep my political side turning as a member of the League of Independent Theater, which is the 501c6 organization that's advocating in the political realm on behalf of New York's independent theater artists. So any indie theater artists out there, if you are not yet a member of LIT, please go to litany.org and join free membership. And very important that everybody adds their voice to the chorus of folks advocating for our needs in city and state government. I do that. I do a lot of voiceover, which is, you know, kind of my daytime gig now, thankfully. Some sound design here and there, but creatively, primarily, I'm a director, sometimes an actor, but not a very good one.
No. If we had to take a list of the best actors on this podcast, I'd come in behind you.
Guaranteed. No, I don't know about that.
So, and then you have your hands full there. So you have your voiceover work, your the Co-op Theater East. You have your litany. You have all your personal stuff going on, and you're getting married in 2 months. So do you have any goals for the podcast, or is it kind of like just keep putting out episodes every Thursday?
Exactly, yeah. I think to kind of keep it going, to not ruin anybody's career or my own reputation, but to to kind of really, I guess, to be serious about it, I would love for, I think Mac Rogers said it best. Mac's a playwright who, if you ever get a chance to see his work, I highly recommend it. Everything I've seen him do is just wonderful. But I had him on the podcast after he did a play at the Brick called Ligature Marks. And in it, he talked about listening to the podcast and said, oh, you're essentially adding to the cultural conversation around independent theater in New York. And it sort of struck this chord for me and said, I realized, yeah, that kind of is what I'm doing. I sort of accidentally got here, but I'm really proud of the podcast in that it can be part of that conversation, that there's now an archive of 168 and counting episodes of interviews with people who are making things that might otherwise not have any sort of presence online, or like not enough presence past it's, you know, we do such an ephemeral thing in the theater. So it's nice to be, I guess, creating a little something that says, hey, this thing existed, and hopefully the artists who are part of it can use that in some way. I really hope that everybody who's ever been on Go See a Show is submitting those links to, you know, when they're submitting for grants or residencies sort of thing, and saying, hey, look, you know, there's this is, I'm legitimate. I didn't just, you know, get $20 from a friend and rent a studio for an hour and put up a dinky little show. It's like, no, somebody who cares about this came out and talked to me about it. And this was a real thing. So I'm really hoping that I'm contributing in some way to the community. Hopefully that's what's happening. Maybe it's just a jerk with a microphone and showing up to get press tickets, but I really hope it's not just that.
But don't you find that you're not just contributing to the independent theater scene in New York, but the independent theater scene worldwide? I'm sure you have worldwide listeners.
That's the weirdest thing, when I pull up the Google Analytics and see that there's listeners in like Brazil and Russia and Eastern Europe. And I'm like, who are you? I really want to know who these people are. So if you're listening to this, email me. Just say like, hi, I'm the guy who is listening in Germany. I would be so curious. I have heard from people who are not in New York, primarily from the West Coast. There was, you know, a young person who was in school and directing his first piece, who was writing me saying, you know, do you have any pointers for somebody who's just getting started? I listened to your podcast, and that was kind of awesome. I really hope that maybe it's helping to spread the word about the cool stuff that we do here. Because being in New York, we are in many ways at ground zero for theater. So if New York is leading the way, maybe we can help to lead the way by spreading information via podcasts too.
I can't impress upon folks enough, because we get a lot of email from students, high school and college students, and some college professors have required their students to listen to our podcast, which is really so incredibly cool. And
that's amazing. Congrats. That's great.
And we get emails that say, oh, you know, I'm just this student that is creating something at XYZ State College or something like that. And I just try to tell them, without you, you are in the food chain of creativity, you know, because we count on you to graduate from college and move to New York, maybe stop in Albany on the way, and come here and create theater, and you are tomorrow's you create a force in New York. And so it's always funny to me that that folks are, you have some folks who are just, they just know that they're coming to New York and they're going to do big things, and other folks who are like, I'm studying and I hope to come to New York one day, and maybe, you know, you know, New York doesn't exist without you. I mean, all of us, just so few people actually are born and grow up in Manhattan and become theater leaders. There are some, but, you know, most theater leaders are from somewhere else.
Amen. And we need those people not just to... It's just, this is my soapbox. I'll get up on the soapbox for just a quick second. It's theater is just so important and so vital and so rich for anyone getting involved. Like it's a haven. It's a home for so many people. And even if it's just the thing that you like to do on weekends in your small town, putting up Neil Simons and Agatha Christie's mm-hmm. in a converted church, like whatever, there's communities that grow up around that. And so it's never just like, oh, I just do this. It's part of this whole ecosystem of this thing, this labor of love that we all do called theater. I get that often from people, you know, they find out, you're in New York and you're a theater artist. Are you on Broadway? And I have to say, I'm not even gunning for Broadway. If Broadway called, I'm going. But of course, like, I'm not an idiot. But this is my community. My community is the independent theater community, and we're the weirdos producing things in basements and borrowed spaces and converted spaces wherever we can. And I think we're another component, and we're a vital component. We exist, and we do our work for a reason in the way that we do it. It's not, we're not Broadway Light. We're not Broadway Junior. We're not in any way, striving to be, this isn't like necessarily a stop. This can be a place in and of itself. I'm proud of being here, and I'm proud of the work that I see and the people that I work with. And I think they're producing some fabulous stuff. Like you said, I can't remember who on your podcast actually said it, but somebody said about In Fields Where They Lay, it was one of the most beautiful things they had seen in a long time. I agree. You know where I met Brad Raimondo, the director? We were working together in a really crappy survival job. But, you know, we both love this thing. And Brad got some stuff together, and despite having to work in that terrible survival job, which we both thankfully bailed on at the same time, he pulled some stuff together, and he made this beautiful thing that really resonated with a lot of people. And I'll step off the soapbox now. I'm just really proud of the work that happens in the off Broadway world, and I'm happy that maybe Go See a Show can help to further it in some way and get the word out about it.
So outside of theater podcasts, do you listen to any other podcasts?
I listened to so much music in my younger days, and mm-hmm. I still am a big music fan, but I found that with my advancing age, apparently now I listen to a lot of people talking about things. So I listen to a whole lot of podcasts. So there's, there's theater podcasts like, of course, Broadway Radio, Maximu, Theater People. I like those. I listen to kind of like the more NPR-ish, like Radio Lab and Note to Self, Invisibilia. Everything in Radiotopia is excellent. Criminal, 99% Invisible. What are the other ones? Like The Truth, Love and Radio. Those are all really, really great. I loved, I just started listening to Song Exploder, which is phenomenal.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's really cool. I think they just joined, if they didn't just join Radiotopia, they played an episode on 99% Invisible, but the host will work with a musician, and they'll deconstruct their song and show you how it was put together.
Cool.
Super, super cool. And then there's some great, radio drama podcasts I've started listening to. My friend Tara Godomsky just started a podcast called Jest, G-E-S-T-E, that is really cool, original radio dramas. She's in love with the BBC radio drama format, she's trying to make a U.S. version of that. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with her on that, so that's also a little personal plug. DTC Radio, Distilled Theater Company, is an independent theater company here in the city as well. They've been on the podcast with a play by Tyler Grimes, and they do a radio play series as well called DTC Radio. My friend Tyrant Rex has a podcast called Tales of the Halloween Team that is super, super fun. That's like a serial weirdo superhero story, which is great. Yeah, so I could just keep going on, but now I'm just blasting no. about personal preferences. I love a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So back to go see a show. Have you ever had a podcast where everything has gone wrong? That it's just been a train wreck for you, and at the time it seems like a terrible misery, but in retrospect it's funny.
I actually had the thing that's coming to mind is an incident that happened very recently with the folks at Retro Productions. They did a show called The Butter and Egg Man,
which is, you know that one.
So they did the show, and in the show, in the last act, there's it's kind of farcy. There's a bit of door work going on at the end of the piece, and a doorknob came off. And watching it, I thought that wasn't supposed to come off. And indeed, I was correct. That doorknob was not supposed to come off. So watching them over the last 10 minutes of the piece solve the issue with the doorknob was just a delight. And it's some of the best theater that I've seen, because I maintain that the reason I go to the theater is I love that it can all just go wrong. And when things do go a little bit wrong, there's this opportunity for the audience and the performer to have a moment together where the audience is rooting for they're actively rooting for the cast to get everything back together. And when the cast fixes it, no matter how they fix it, there's if done right, there's a little wink that's like a thanks for being on my side, thanks for helping me through this. And that totally happened with Butter and Egg Man. So we get to the end of the show and we're doing the interview, and I bring up this thing, and I said, you know, forgive me, I'm going to bring this up and tell me if you don't want me to put it on the air, but to me this was some of the best stuff in the theater. I love this when this happens, and we have this great conversation about how you fix things when they go wrong, and conversation goes great. We get to the end of it, I look at my microphone and it stopped recording about 18 minutes before that. So I went back, figured out where it stopped, and said, guys, I'm so sorry, can I take 10 more minutes of your time and kind of get back some of that stuff. So they got the interview rolling again, like pros. They were awesome. And it kind of came out as, you know, hey, sometimes things go wrong with podcasts too. It's okay. sometimes that's just what happens. And, you know, there's the part of me that says, oh, it feels embarrassed because, you know, oh, I'm a podcasting professional, darn it, I shouldn't be making mistakes mm-hmm. like this. But another sense, I like when things go wrong, because I don't know, there's something in the fixing of it that's just magic, especially when it happens on stage. So yeah, I don't think I've ever had an episode where everything went completely terrible. I've had episodes that I struggled through because some interviewer or interviewees didn't know how to keep the conversation going. It's like I ask you open ended questions.
And they say yes and no.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like,
I've
had those. So more. Not really. So
were you a creative child? Yes. Okay.
how so? What was your most favorite third grade finger painting?
Yes.
You feel like you shouldn't have to push it in those directions, but you know, it's just different styles, different people.
Yeah.
I've been grateful in that most of the people I talk to via Go See a Show either have heard of the podcast and are into it, and so kind of know what's going on, or oftentimes they're friends, or as we alluded to earlier, I lubricate them with alcohol. And
I was going
to try to get the conversation going that way.
When you had to re-record that last 10 minutes, had they been drinking heavily, it would have been very tough to get that 10 minutes back out of them.
It might have been. Yeah, there was no booze on that one, thankfully. Yeah. It's probably for the best.
Well, I want to let our listeners know that you should go over to GoSeeAShowPodcast.com and check it out. Listen to a few episodes. Subscribe over there. You can check out Robert at RobertGagnon.com. That's RobertGagnon.com. And all that will be at the show page as well on Broadway Radio. On Facebook, you can see Go See a Show at Facebook.com/GoSeeAShow and Twitter.com/GoSeeAShow. So, Robert, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about your show.
James, thank you. And also a big thank you to you for keeping your podcast going, because you're the window into the Broadway world for me, which I don't often get over to see. So it's really cool to get the information about that part of our big old theater world via your audio medium. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.